Like you to join me Monday nights, 10 p.m. Eastern Standard Time for Open Canvas. Don't forget to bring an open mind.
Yes, folks, that's right. Bring an open mind to an open canvas. Again, that is Monday nights, 10 p.m. Eastern. UFOs to government corruption. This is Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com. You don't need to expect us. We're already here.
This is the people's war. It is our war. We are the fighters. Fight it then. Fight it with all that is in us. And may God defend the right.
Warning, warning.
We've got to stop them. They're going to kill us all.
See how the trouble you've started?
Be they the government, be they industry, be they organized labor, be they anyone or human beings.
Time when the operation of the machine becomes so odious, makes you so sick at heart that you can't take part. Even passively take part, and you've got to put your bodies upon the gears and upon the wheels, upon the levers, upon all the apparatus, and you've got to make it stop, and you've got to indicate to the people who run it, to the people who own it, that unless you're free, the machine will be prevented from working at all.
Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com, the number one listener-supported talk radio station, throwing ourselves upon the gears of the machine. Revolution Radio, where information never sleeps.
You called down the thunder, well now you've got it.
Earth, you tell them I'm coming, and hell's coming with me, you hear? Hell's coming with me!
Revolution Radio!
Welcome to Crypt Rick's I've Been Thinking. What's this show all about? Well, it's all in the title. He enjoys interviewing people about issues that he finds interesting and which cause him to sit back and think. Cryptocurrency, true crime, natural law, the occult. No topic is off limits here. He has always enjoyed when people give their points of view or thoughts on different topics that they have researched. And what makes it all great is that it's their unique take on what is being discussed. For that reason alone, it makes it interesting to him. So take that walk down to his crypt. Make yourself comfortable. And just maybe, he will be discussing a topic that you have been thinking about. Here's your host, Crypt Rick.
Welcome, everybody. It is another Monday, which can mean only one thing here at Revolution Radio, and that is that it is time for the Crypt Rick I've Been Thinking show. I am your host, Crypt Rick. Welcome, everybody. Hope everybody had a great weekend. I had a great show with my co-host, Jonathan, for the Crypt Rick and Jonathan show on Saturday. We had the one and only Vinny Eastwood on. It was a great discussion. Thank you guys for all the great feedback that we got. A lot of people enjoyed that one, so thank you so much. It was a great one, and I really enjoyed doing that show. Hope everybody had a great day today. I know that where I'm living, it was 18 degrees. That's Celsius, because I'm in Canada, and it was beautiful. It was warm, and it's probably going to be one of the rare days where we have that type of temperature. So I tried to sit outside in the sun as much as I could all day. It was just beautiful, and I figured, you know, before winter gets here and the cold weather, I'm going to soak up as much sun as I can, and it was amazing. So I hope everybody had a great start to their week. And just before I get my guest on, I just want to let everyone know, like I do every week, that, you know, if you value freedom and you value freedom of speech and it's something you think you should support, then definitely it would be greatly appreciated, because here at Revolution Radio, it is freedom support. It is freedom and it is listener supported, guys. And so many ways you can donate to help support. There's Patreon if you want to do a monthly donation. There's also cryptocurrency. If that's your thing, you got Bitcoin, Bitcoin Cash, there's Ethereum, and you can also use snail mail. That still exists. You can still do it that way. Just go to freedomslips.com, go to the top of the page. There is a donation section, and it'll show you all the different ways you can donate and help support keeping freedom and freedom of speech alive and all the great content that is here at Revolution Radio. So I just want to thank everybody who has been donating. It is greatly appreciated, guys. Thank you. So with that out of the way, I just want to go ahead and welcome my guest. I've had her on my the Saturday show before it turned into the Crypt Rick and Jonathan show, and I had her on. We were talking about music, and I wanted to get her on this show, and I did find her work on the One Great Work Network, and really enjoyed what she was saying, and I've had some many great conversations with her about important topics, so I figured we should get her on the show and have a great topic and a conversation. So I want to welcome Catherine Waters. Welcome, Catherine, to the show.
Oh, hey, Rick. Thank you for having me back. I think we did two interviews before.
There one, we go.
Yeah, one was about music and, right, like one was kind of about like the more serious stuff.
Right, yeah, and we had a great conversation yesterday, which we didn't record. I'm still kicking myself in the butt for that because we did have a great conversation about a lot of important stuff, just talking. And I said we have to talk about it on the show, and so thank you for short notice coming on because it was you had me thinking, and since our conversation, and we were talking about what's going on in the world, and a lot of the work that you do, you're focusing in on family and children and the abuse that's going on in the family structure in many different ways and how that is affecting society. And then you kind of explained it, which I'll get you to do in a second, but you kind of explained it as, you know, the family structure and that is like the immune system of society. And ever since you said that, I've been thinking about it. For some reason, it's just stuck in my head and it makes a lot of sense to me. So, like, can you let people know a little bit about what you research, what you're looking into, and then explain, you know, we can just get into it.
I know we only have like just about an hour.
Right.
And I have like a lot of just so much information, but the information that I share, it's as simple as it gets, basically. Mm-hmm. It just doesn't get enough attention. I mean, if people just paid more attention to how health worked, then like I feel like made health a priority, health and fitness, that I was kind of forced at a young age to make the priority for myself, because I felt and my health was really suffering very early in life. And so, I have to, in a way, almost like, you know, thank this, COVID narrative and the jab injury narrative that's been, you know, kind of going, you know, viral and really been the main focus over like what is now going on 3 years, because the points that I've been making, that myself has experienced, that many other people have experienced and was trying to speak about for decades, is now those same points are being made, you know, but in regards to jab injuries. So, I did not grow up in a healthy environment at all. Like, I don't even consider it to be an upbringing. I always called it an undermining. Since the 70s, I'm 58 years old. I've been trying to speak out about the family system and, child neglect and the physical and psychological and spiritual health consequences, neglecting and just not treating children the way that they deserve. And, the family system has been completely, completely deteriorating over the decades. Like, I'm literally going back 5 decades, 50 years, since my body first started having, 52 years to be exact, my body just basically started having adverse responses, you know, to living in your own house. And that should not be the case at all. The body, you shouldn't be being made ill. Your health should not be compromised in any way, shape or form, as a child in your own home. All too often over the decades, it's become normalized, like, the family system and even the community, relatives, aunts, uncles, have just really like been the what I just always call the micro of the macro. I mean, all the things that I'm going to say, all the things that I have tried to speak out about and have been literally criminalized for 5 decades is very uncomfortable things to look at. There's no question about it. You know, painful, often to look at these things. But look at them, we should have been doing, again, decades ago. And I completely believe that it has been this lack of taking the family system and raising children properly seriously that has really brought us to where we are. Because like, all of the stories that I have been hearing about the jab injuries, you know, I know there's a lot of people that probably get really offended. You know, they don't want to believe again that, the people in power, government would deliberately like want to harm people with the jab. But,
It's happening. I've seen the videos where people are falling and,
oh, it's
collapsing.
Real.
Yeah, it's real. And you're getting more injuries all the time. They're coming out. So who knows what's going to come down the road, Kat, in even more time.
You know, and that's why, people don't know necessarily like the statistics on child abuse and the family system, but they are all too extensive. I mean, if anyone can just look up the statistics on child abuse, in the family system in particular, I mean, it's really off the charts. Like 80% of children are abused by a parent, murdered by a parent. I just literally can't wrap my head around how this issue hasn't been taken more seriously, focused on decades ago. I mean, again, these are, they're children. They're supposed to be the future. The very people that should be valued and defended more than any population in the world has become normal to just literally dump the psychological, physical pollution and abuse and the financial bill on them like it's
so
normal.
True.
And so
it's become normal. It's become normal.
And it's so inverted. Like, this is what I'm saying. Like, the surest way to kind of just stay on track and know that you're just sane and living in moving in the right direction in this world is when you just live in alignment, with health and fitness and nature. And, again, like if people are going to invert health and nature and just like they did in my experience and just make it normal, to mistreat children, to like, I use like kind of environmental terms and I'll just kind of say like, just like the environment, like childhood was just open up to fracking, like, decades ago, like it's just normal. It's been normal to just kind of, just dig into childhood. And it's like, what's a little bit of pollution when you're a kid? Some abuse when you're a kid isn't going to hurt you. So instead of childhood and children being defended at all costs, and protected and raised right and nurtured and supported until they're, 18, 21, it's just become more and more normalized for the, quote unquote parents to be like basically adult children who were never raised themselves and have all of these like unresolved traumas and abuses from their own, parents that they just then, pass down to their children. And that's what you basically get in a debt system, a system where, health and nature are not in alignment, not backed by our created out of thin air debt currency, fiat right. currency that we have. And, it's like more and more people over the decades have been basically just living in a state of altered mental status, which, you know, used to be considered like one of the early signs and symptoms of a person going into shock. But now I consider that to be like a normal state that like so many people live in and they don't even know it. You know, their judgment is impaired. They're just in a basically like a emotional state of deficiency because they don't really have, you know, the self-worth. I'm not talking about everyone, of course. I mean, you know, I thank God for the smart, healthy dissenters in America and around the world. But there's way too many compliant people. Like, there's just way too much child abuse. There's way too many, like, adult children. And, you know, again, like, I know that these issues are not comfortable to look at, but, like, I, you know, and a lot of people have been looking at them, but not as deeply as we should. And again, like, you know, protecting children was not really regarded in the way that it should. And I think that we're going to suffer greatly because of it now.
I think so. We were talking about that. I agree too. And so it's because you were telling me, like, you've been seeing this coming. You've been talking, as you said earlier, a few minutes ago, that you've been talking about this problem for decades, and you've seen it. You've kind of seen what's coming way before it got here, and you're kind of trying to educate people and wake people up. And then you, like you said, you kind of get a lot of flack for that, which is, you know, I can see how discouraging it must get for you when you're trying to educate people and then you're getting all this flack. But you've seen this coming for a long time, like we were talking about, the deterioration of the family. I know in my lifetime, I'm only 50, and I've seen, even from my own childhood, the difference in the family structure in just my years on the planet. It's definitely deteriorated in a lot of areas. Actually, there's barely any parents. Like, most time, both parents are out at work, so they're not spending a lot of time with their kids. The children are passed off to a daycare or whatever, and that's what we're losing there. And is it by design? I absolutely believe it is. Mm-hmm. But it doesn't mean that it may be by design, but that's the problem we have to address. We have to get back to, like you were saying, you have adult children that are having children, passing it down, and we're just repeating this cycle, as you called it, like the immune system. And that's why we're seeing what's going on in society fruition. Like, it has to happen that way.
That's what I mean. Like, you know, like, I just consider, you know, children are supposed to be society's immune system. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, had they been defended and protected like they should have been decades ago, instead of having it become normalized that I just want to clarify something. You know, I use the term like child abuse or neglect, but you know, like, I try to clarify all the time that I have come to consider child abuse and neglect anything less than raising a child to their healthy potential. You know, a lot of people maybe never considered themselves to be neglected or abused, or maybe even think that they were kind of brought up pretty good. You know, but at the same time, like, they're not really, you know, they weren't reaching their healthy potential. They weren't really raised to go after, you know, and just be, you know, the authentic person that they're supposed to be. I mean, I've just, you know, in the 70s was like obsessed with, you know, we're supposed to be raised to our healthy potential. We're supposed to be the unique, you know, person that we're meant to be, with whatever, you know, gifts and talents that you know, that we have, and then, you know, use that to contribute, you know, to society. Mm-hmm. You know, and it was just so obvious. Like, I mean, I certainly wasn't being brought up that way. No one that I knew was being brought up that way. No one was told what your rights were, you know, and to defend, you know, your rights. You know, I unfortunately had no choice but to stand up as a teenager to, you know, to an abusive parent. And my body, you know, like no one taught me to do that. My body, what I call your psychological and physical immune system, that just knows. So again, like, that is a healthy adverse response to a very unhealthy environment. And, you know, but meanwhile, like, you're living in a mentality of people inside and outside the home that, you know, the people in power can basically just do whatever they want. Like, you know, authority is always right, no matter how blatantly abusive that they are. And that's why, you know, you have not really, you know, you have to rely on health and nature for the answers, you know, because, you know, I knew when I was young, like, I was born healthy. There was nothing wrong with my body. And, you know, like, just like what's going on now, like, I can't even, like, I am, like, I swear to God, like, every time I turn around and I listen to another story about, you know, people being injured by the jab, I mean, I've watched, like, I can't even, you know, count how many videos and people just describing how their health has been, like, wrecked if they didn't, you know, die. You know, they're, like, so disabled and they got seizure. Like, young people are getting myocarditis and all of this stuff. And, you know, like, I mean, like, they're literally telling my story and the story that I've been, you know, the descriptions that I've been trying to speak about, you know, and, like, how I felt I was, like, bashed over the head, you know, in my own home. And then when you, you know, stand up to a parent and you're, you know, an abuser and your body has this normal, healthy response to the, you know, the poor treatment and neglect, you know, it's your body that people made wrong. It's your body's healthy, you know, immune response psychologically and physically that everyone around me, like, made wrong, you know, since, you know, 1970. And,
so true. Yeah.
I mean, that is, like, I mean, just, like, think about that. That is, like, insane. Like, this is how we got to where we are because, you know, people have a lot of people, too many people, not everyone, you know, literally has such a you know, no concept of what psychological health is. They have no concept of what it means to be an emotionally healthy person. I mean, if my, you know, I mean, there's so many cases of child abuse and neglect and the dysfunctional family system and the guilt and the shame that gets passed on to children by their parents. And I got guilted and shamed for basically, you know, again, having a normal response. So, you know, just imagine that, like, you know, if it was like a crime to be healthy as a young person, when you rightfully stand up for yourself, because there's no one left to do it. And the people that are supposed to be defending and being on your side more than anyone in the world are the, you know, the inflictors of, you know, your, like,
I get it.
I mean, and then your body has, like, a normal response to that. And then everyone turns around and tries to, you know, make you feel like it's your body that's wrong. And, like, there's something wrong with your body's response. And, you know, I mean, for decades, I mean, to this day, people still have that mentality. People that I know, people who still maintain the same stance, you know, that it's the like, just excuses for the abuser, excuses for the abuser. And, you know, I mean, if you're learning in your, you know, so-called home when you're young, you know, that people in authority can maim you, and then you have to turn around and feel guilty for standing up for yourself and feel sorry for them instead. I mean, this is literally as, like, mentally ill and inverted of health as it gets.
And, I agree. Yep.
I mean, this goes on, like, ridiculously over the decades. And, you know, so again, like, if not paying attention to child abuse in the family system and the breakdown and, you know, like, the family system has just basically been infected with this social disease, you know, for decades, and nothing was ever done about it. Then, you know, you can't really be surprised if, you know, the sociopaths that be, who just have been getting away with so much corruption, you know, God, like, since the freaking, you know, JFK assassination, or, like,
yeah,
God knows how long, Even before that.
Yeah. It's so true what you're saying, Kat, because, and I've had guests on, we've talked about the family structure and how messed up it is. Like, and it's just getting worse. And we talk a lot about homeschooling and stuff. And I think that's where we're going to make the big change. You know, can we wake people up and educate people that are the older generations? I think that happens every day. But I think that where we're going to see the main change is in the family unit. I agree with you. Like, we have to start educating the children about what you were speaking about like what a right is, what natural law is, what objective morality is, all the things that they're not teaching in school systems, that's for sure. And parents, if they don't even know what we're talking about, they're definitely not passing it on to their children. And in turn, you're just repeating this cycle. So I think that's where we're going to make this big difference is in the children and the family unit. That's where I think we're going to see the biggest change. Now, am I going to see it in my lifetime? I don't think so. I think this is going to be a generational thing that's going to have to start happening, because we're kind of starting from scratch in a lot of ways. So,
you know, the only way we could arrive at this place where, there's a lot of people who even think that it's okay for, you know, the sociopaths that be to jab everyone and then, mm-hmm. you know, blame the those who are basically healthy and know their rights to not take this mRNA, jab.
Jab, yeah, and they guilt you if you don't take it, like you said, like in the family unit. They use guilt.
We really have been in a mental health crisis, like, longer than I've been on this earth, an emotional health crisis. And I knew decades ago, people literally, they have no idea what it means to be mentally healthy, emotionally healthy. They have no idea what it means to be an emotionally healthy adult. Just a mature, responsible adult who actually stands up for yourself. It's obvious for a long time. A lot of people just are kept dependent and childlike and never reaching, you know, their full psychological capacity. And it's only by destroying emotional health that, again, the sociopaths that be, you know, right, like, they've literally bypassed people's psychological immune system, and now they're able to just inject you and, like, maim the shit out of your physical
yep.
immune system.
It's so true. And I thought, like, that was, it's scary what this jab has done to people. And I still know people that are getting the boosters, like, you try to talk to them, Kat, and they just don't, I don't know what it is. They don't want to hear it, or they, I don't know what it is. I get frustrated because I don't know what is going on in their heads, because I've known people that have got, like, the fourth booster of this jab, and they're getting sicker with every one that they get, and then they still go get the next one. As soon as they say there's another one, they're first in line to go get it, and they're just getting sicker, and they're still going to get it. I'm like, just stop getting the, what are you doing? But they're still doing it. If that's not a mental problem going on, I don't know what is. Like,
yeah, exactly. Like,
they're hurting themselves and still doing it. Like, they know they're going to be sicker when they go get the next one, and they go, and it's like, oh my God. So
it's, so I'm just going to kind of mention, the documentary called COVID Land. I watched, like, part three. I kind of had some of it queued up. I was going to play some parts of it that were,
that'd be cool if you could, yeah.
Really good. It's just like I, for one, like, I can't believe that this is where we've ended up. I mean, I made health and fitness the priority decades ago, because how completely wrecked. I mean, I literally knew when I was a child of, like, 8 years old that my health was, like, disabled. I mean, this is what I'm saying. Whether it's the jab or the family system breakdown, mm-hmm. you know, it's been, you know, right, by design to wreck your health, to disable you. And if you have, like, parents literally disabling their own children by not raising them well, by not just, you know, being mentally and physically healthy themselves and able, you know, because again, like if a parent is not emotionally healthy, their healthy child is going to be a threat to them. Their healthy child, you know, physically and mentally is going to challenge, you know, that parent. And if the parent is not physically and emotionally healthy, they're just not going to be up for it. Like,
exactly.
You know,
yep.
like stepping into a boxing ring, you know, with somebody like really, you know, skilled. I mean, you know, you got to be up for it. And too often, you know, right, because the parent isn't up for it. It's the healthy child, you know, whose health needs to get knocked down a bunch of notches, you know, rather than the parent stepping up to the plate, you know, to where, you know, the kid's health is. It ends up being the other way around. I mean, that's what happened to me. It was like, you know, oh, you know, your poor parents and they can't do this. And they, you know, and so like, what, like, are you kidding me? It's like my health standard has to be lowered because these people are just like losers. Like, are you freaking kidding me? Right. I mean, all people did all my life and still do to this day. I mean, I'm talking a half a century. I'm trying to talk about this issue of the completely inverted family system, you know, where people, you know, made it normal and guilted and shamed me. You know, and like I'm here, you know, to feel sorry for the person that's like basically failing me, you know, who never has to take responsibility. They never have to apologize. They never had to, you know, right, like admit that they were wrong and, you know, take steps to improve. Like they could just continue failing and failing and failing. And like, you're supposed to just keep like forgiving them, you know.
Yeah. And like you said that you've heard like they did the best they could. You hear that a lot. You said that one, you hear a lot.
Oh, forget it. You know, and get over it and all of this stuff.
Yeah, get over it's another one, yep.
If you want to talk about science, like, this is what I'm saying, you know, like, you know, child rearing is science. Child development is science. And, I mean, you know, if a, you know, a so-called, you know, parent cares about raising their child, you know, well and healthy, I mean, you know, children, you know, demand, their health demands healthy environments, you know, healthy parenting. And if they don't get it, then there are consequences. You know, the child's, you know, physical and psychological body and health is going to, you know, reflect that. And, you know, again, too often it's the child that gets blamed, it, you know, rather than the parent looking in the mirror and, you know, I mean, like how parenting and child rearing should go is, you know, again, if a parent really cared, you know, they would take the feedback from their child, any kind of adverse response their child is having, you know, like I gave my, you know, again, so-called mother, like plenty of adverse responses, like letting them know that they were hurting me and harming my health. And they just, you know, instead of taking that feedback and thinking like, you know, okay, like I'm doing something wrong, you know, just like when you're learning how to like ride a bike or ski or anything like that, you know, you should be adjusting yourself when you see that you're kind of, you know, leaning in the wrong direction. But instead the mentality was always, right, like not as a science-based mentality, like, you know, taking the feedback and then adjusting yourself to do better. It was always, you know, I got the power, I could do whatever I want, you know, and
right. You listen to me and not taking your feedback, then they blame you for it, so it's your fault. What's going on? They take no accountability. So yeah, you're right, it's true.
And that's how health has been literally dismantled. Like this is how literally millions of people, this goes on and has been going on for decades in millions, like, you know, again, to different degrees. I mean, you know, people are, you know, like not fit parents in like a variety of degrees. you know, but, you know, it's, I think it's pretty like, you know, exceptional for there to be like really, really, you know, good parents and, you know, someone who's actually going to listen to the criticisms of their child. I know that they are out there and I thank God for them.
Oh, there is. Yeah. I've met some. Yeah, I know. Yep. They're out there.
You know,
it's but, just it's not a common thing. I hope it becomes more that way. I've heard more people since COVID definitely turning to homeschooling and starting to look into at least getting their children out of the system. And that's, I think, a big problem, Kat. And I'd like to get your opinion on it. I think that children are pulled away way too young from their parents and. You yeah. know, they're put in, like I was saying at the beginning, they're put into the child care, they're put into a public school system, and they're away from the parents. I think that's where a lot of this trauma even, like, definitely starts with the parents, because the parents aren't mature, some of them, and they're not ready for a child. Obviously, that's having an impact from that angle. But then I think when they give up raising their children to the state, there's a million excuses I've heard that they got to pay their bills and they need jobs. And so yeah. we can get into that. That's fine. We can have that argument too. But I'm just saying, from the point that they're dumping their kids off at such a young age and having other people raise them,
yeah.
that's where I think the psychological starts for the child, because you're, you know, in the old days, I'm sure that children were, well, they were raised by their whole village or their whole clan or whatever. It was, and they were around the family a lot, and now we've lost that. That's being tore away younger and younger. Like when I was younger, you know, it wasn't as young as it is now. It's even younger now that children are getting in, putting the daycare or public school or something. So, I mean, disaster is inevitable. It's going to happen.
They're like making children literally mentally ill over these decades, basically. Yeah. You know, again, like I've always been obsessed with health and fitness, physically, mentally, and spiritually all my life because yep.
they go together.
The experiences that I've had so early, you know, and so like it's a no-brainer that if you want to, know if you're like scoring the goal. I mean, you know, people watch sports and, you know, right. Like, I mean, you know, the team or the athlete or whatever, you know, they're either scoring the goal or they're missing it, you know, according to the laws of physics and the laws of nature, you know? And so again, it should be the same thing for like parenting. I mean, if you're like maiming your kid, you're kind of missing the goal, and yet missing the goal just became normal. I mean, if you gave, the score, the points, the game, the trophy to a team that like clearly like missed and completely plundered, you know, the goal, I mean, the freaking whole stadium would be in like a freaking uproar.
Yep.
And yet, like, you can have parents like completely missing the goal. Like, I mean, that's what I'm saying. I mean, like, you know, like how do you judge, you know, if people like are fit or not? You know, it's when they score like these goals, when they hit the target. You know, so if we're not using, you know, child development, you know, as the goal, as the target that we should be aligning ourselves with, not making the kid have to, you know, and their health deviate to fit the sick, dysfunctional society, you know, it's supposed to go the other way around. Like, child development should be like, right, you know, the goal line that if people deviate from, you know, they acknowledge it and then, you know, they take steps to improve and make the goal even more, you know, not
right.
like, right, like take the child's mental and physical health and just keep watering it down and making them the bad guy when they have, you know, everything just gets in, has gotten so inverted.
For
I mean,
sure.
you know, again, like the parent-child relationship should be looked at like, you know, cause and effect. You know, the child is the effect, you know, the parent, the people in authority are the cause, you know, and too often, you know, what's been going on over the decades is the effect gets blamed and it gets flipped around, you know, and then you're blaming the person that's, you know, that's having and reflecting back, you know, the blowback, and they're the ones getting blamed. And, right. you know, and the person in power is like, you know, never gets held accountable. And that's basically, you know, what we're living in on a mass scale, like, because it's just easier to abuse vulnerable people. I mean, it's just all there is to it. It's just
that's
easier.
True. And it's great that you're saying that we're talking about the family structure and then you look at it in society. And like you said, it's the same dynamic that we're looking at. And so it's very... I really like that way that you're describing it. I think people can really get a grasp of what you're saying when you bring up like how the dysfunction is being just passed on, and then, you know, nobody's really paying attention to the symptoms. And what worries me, Kat, too, is that now that, you know, children that do kind of have this emotion, like if they're having this reaction because of what's going on in their home or what's going on in their life or whatever it is, they have this, you know, reaction that you're talking about because something isn't right. Now they're medicating them on all these different powerful medications. Like I started looking into some of these medications that they're giving children, and I'm like, wow, like they didn't have this. I don't know if they had it when I was a kid, but I don't think they did. Like, I mean, if they did, they didn't use it like they're using it now. And I know I was telling you off the air when we were talking yesterday that because I was a hyperactive child, I was very into everything, curious. I know if I was born now, they would have definitely medicated me. They would. I know that I'd be on like 5 different medications. I'd probably have ADD and ADHD and you name any other letter. They'd have probably 5 different titles for what I have. Instead of me just being a normal curious kid who was full of energy and wanted to explore the world. And my mom would just let me go. My mom would follow me around and let me go. But now they're medicating them, it's going to be a disaster. It's got to happen.
Yeah, forever customers. Like, that's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
Like that's what I mean. Like, everything is being inverted and you know, I mean, I just basically, you know, say that health has been a crime. Like, it's been a crime to be healthy. I mean, you're like, you're not allowed to be healthy. Your healthy vibrancy, your healthy self-esteem and, you know, liking yourself. Like if you weren't like beaten into submission and obedient and easy to control, you know, that should be seen as a pathology. And instead, that's what I mean. See, they make that the goal. They make you being unhealthy the goal.
Well, think about it. I've seen this trend too, and I don't know if you have, you probably have, that people that are very, very upbeat, positive, and that I've heard starting to trickle that people start like saying they're a narcissist and stuff like that. If you're very positive about yourself, you're confident, and you're just radiating that energy, a lot of people look at, like you were just saying, they think that's weird. Like they look down on, they invert it. And that's a perfect way that you put it. They invert it. And this confidence that people are having, if they're spiritually intact, they're emotionally, they've done the work, and then they get attacked for it almost. It's like a really weird thing that I've been starting to see, where people are being called a narcissist, or they're full of themselves. All it is is that they're just a normal, average person. They're just a happy person. I mean, I don't know how to explain it, but I mean, I think I know people get what I'm trying to say.
You know, yeah, I mean, again, like there's so many things to talk about, like, like they're trying to make those not, you know, getting the jab and, you know, asking questions and not just blindly following along, you know, right. People who basically are healthy, mentally healthy, and right, trying to make, you know, us into the sick ones, the ones, the dangerous ones, and right, like blind compliance and going
guilting us is a big one. For the jab, it's for me on my end, it was the guilt. I got that was laid on thick for a while on me.
You know,
it was just awful, and I'm like, I'm not getting it, and that's a normal reaction that people should have had. I don't feel bad for that reaction.
Yeah, this is why I've like focused so much on psychological and emotional health, and what are healthy relationship skills, what are dysfunctional relationships, you know, how do you recognize dysfunction? How do you recognize when your boundaries are being violated, you know?
Good
like
question.
I mean, I knew literally since the 70s, I mean, like we needed to be hightailing it in the direction of building health and fitness physically, psychologically, and spiritually, building healthy relationship skills, building, you know, the family system, understanding what it means to have and set healthy boundaries and healthy communication skills. I mean, you know, I was all about like just fitness
on
scale.
You've been in the fitness forever, like yoga, all of it, meditation. You've done it all. So I mean,
bodybuilding.
Yeah, like all of it. So yeah, and you must see what's going on with health then. Like, I mean, and we could do three separate shows because we could, as you said, there's so much to cover that we could talk about the physical unhealthiness and then the spiritual and then the mental. But you must see what's going on with physical health even in the world, especially not even just put the jab aside, not even that, just with people's diets and what the food, how bad it is getting and stuff. You must really be disturbed when you see that. I know I am, and you've been in this for a long time in the health aspect of it.
I think the main focus really should be on psychological health and emotional and healthy relationship skills and being able to recognize what's dysfunctional, what's codependent. You know, again, like we have like 15 minutes left, so I just want to make sure that I kind of...
Oh yeah, but you can stick around for the second hour if you'd like. You're more than welcome to. So yeah, I'm gonna have another guest on, Fred from he's got his own Liberty podcast. I think that's pronounced right. Forgive me, Fred, if it isn't, but I'll get him to explain his podcast. But if you want to stick around, Kat, for the second hour, you're more than welcome.
Sure.
Yeah.
So I wanted to mention, I sent it to you yesterday when we were speaking. You know, Dr. Robert Malone posted it on his Substack, and it's called Vaccine Damaged in Australia.
Yeah, that was disturbing after I read that. Wow.
You know, and so, I mean, again, like all of these people are saying is exactly the same thing that I've been trying to say for 50 plus years, you know, about harm being done in your own house. I mean, the bottom line is if children are not safe and protected in their own homes and, you know, like really defended, I'm not talking about just like they're not being abused. I'm talking about they're being treated and raised like they should be and treated, you know, like they should be, you know, again, just like physical health is, it's not just the opposite of, sorry, it's not just the absence of cancer. Just because you're like, don't have cancer doesn't make you healthy. So just because you're not being abused doesn't make you fit.
Very true. And that's good that you brought that up, Kat, because I think a lot of people, when they hear abuse, they think either physical or sexual, but you're saying there's a lot more to the abuse than just those. And that's a great point to make, because I think a lot, I know my brain goes there when I hear abuse.
You know, I was always trying, you know, to raise the bar on health. Like, why shouldn't people be fit? I mean, like, why shouldn't people be like martial artists, you know, and just like mentally and physically and, you know, just like really fit. And that's it. I mean, this is like, and have healthy relationships and healthy families, and the work environment, you know, would be healthy. And, you know, don't get me started on the work.
That's another show in itself, the workplace.
You know, the work environment is just another dysfunctional, abusive environment, like the family. But just getting back to this Substack, Vaccine Damaged in Australia. So again, it's just basically the story of a young guy, like I think he's like 35 or something. He's like a DJ. The Australian medical and health system failed me and is now at, so like, again, this is my words since the 70s, like, you know, like the, you know, you're the people in authority over you when you're a child, you know, they're failing you, you know, and is now actively destroying the right to choose a treatment and doctor patient, you know. So again, this is the doctor patient version of the parent child relationship that I was like criminalized and shamed for speaking about 5 decades ago. So again, like the simple fact is that the powers that be have gotten the public to just screw themselves and to do their bidding and to destroy health physically, psychologically. I mean, because again, like if you know, trying to say to a young person, you know, oh, you know, your poor parent, like, oh, they did the best they could or whatever, like that just completely goes against how nature and health work. I mean, it's literally scientifically impossible for a child to feel sorry for their parent. I mean, like the child, their health physically and psychologically just can't afford it, you know, without being, you know, put into, you know, a deficiency, a debt, a health debt. You literally are being put, you know, everyone around me that was like, oh, your poor mother and oh, they did the best they could. But my body was being harmed, period. My health was suffering. And that was a fact. And, you know, you can make all the excuses for the abusers that you want, but, you know, the scientific fact still remains is that, you know, your health is being destroyed and your body is not going to forgive. And,
that's
you know.
That's very important. And so you think that, so I'm trying to think, how you're bringing up such important things, Kat, that I think need to be talked about, as you said, and, you know, a lot of people don't, it's an uncomfortable subject when you start talking about, and I learned that when I started doing interviews about conscious parenting, and we started maybe holding some parents accountable, and, you know, in the sense that, you know, maybe they need to learn about some of these things like, you know, rights and natural law and all of these things that I talk about, so they can pass it on to their kids, and that they should have themselves straight and squared away before they even have children. And it's a sensitive subject. I get it. So I get the blowback that you've probably been getting all these years from bringing this up. It's not a pleasant topic, but I think that we have to educate the children but I guess it starts with the parents, right? That we have to start educating the parent. Like, where, how do we fix this? Have you ever, that's what I'm trying to get at. Or is there no, like, is it too far gone, do you think, if we're being honest?
I mean, like it could be. I mean, I really don't know. It kind of. I mean, so I have on my desktop, right? I've had this this piece. It's on InfoWars, and again, like this is just like the more recent current day levels of child abuse that have been added to, you know, the 5 decades of child abuse that preceded it. But so this piece is entitled New Study: Babies Born in Lockdown Less Likely to Speak Before Their First Birthday. Basically what it said, you know, a new study by researchers in Ireland has concluded that babies born during the COVID lockdown were less likely to be able to speak before their first birthday than children born previously. The study led by Royal College of Surgeons in Ireland found that children were less likely to be able to reach so-called development milestones, including waving goodbye and pointing at objects. The study published in the Archives of Disease in Childhood focused on 309 babies born in the first 3 months of lockdown in Ireland between March and May of 2020 and tested for 10 behavioral milestones at their first birthday, with results then compared against 2,000 babies born between 2008 and 2011. And the study titled Social Communication Skill Attainment in Babies Born During the COVID-19 Pandemic found lockdown babies were 14% less likely to have said their first word, 9% less likely to have started pointing, and 6% less likely to wave goodbye. It talks about, again, this term, you know, milestones, you know, like your childhood milestones. Mm-hmm. And I always thought there should be something called adult milestones, because
for sure, yes, yeah, I agree.
There are too many, quote unquote adults who never reach their milestones and kind of stay stunted, but nobody ever talks to, that's what I mean. Why is the bar, why was it always so normal over these decades? The people were the ones that were literally in on setting the bar on their physical and psychological health so low by making it normal, that you're just basically supposed to just get a job, you're supposed to just, chase a paycheck and get a pension and just have some kids, rather than, reaching your full healthy potential. I mean, it's just that simple. Yeah. And, it's just been way too freaking normal all my life. I was always treated like you're not supposed to be smart. I mean, again, I was always regarded, as the smart young person that I was, there was something wrong with you. You're not supposed to be that way. You're supposed to just get a job and whatever. And I don't know.
Think about all the people, Kat, that are doing jobs, and they've been doing them for years and years and years, some people decades, and they're not happy. They're just miserable. But they're just doing it. They're just doing it to, like you said, chase that paycheck. And if you're miserable at your job, which you're at most of the day, and then you're going to obviously bring that misery home with you. It's inevitable. I don't think people can just shut it off. Maybe some can, but I think it comes into the house that you're truly unhappy. And then that, if you're having children, they see that. And then once again, the cycle that you're talking about starts up all over again.
And it's just really worrisome to me that
I agree.
if they don't even have any idea of what health is, what is it? What does it mean to be a healthy person in mind, body, and spirit? Have a job that you like, be good, have, talents and gifts, just get to be the authentic person, the unique, irreparable individual. You should get to be unlike anyone else in life. And have, your own thoughts and ideas and contributions. And yet those qualities get attacked. They get attacked. People yep. that are different or try to bring ideas Galileo tried to do a long time ago.
If you're different, and stand out, they will hammer you back into place, or they'll do their best. can't have any individuality or creative thought, but. There's the music there, Kat. So we have to top the hour. This is the break, so we will be back in about 4 minutes, guys. We're here with Kat Waters. We're discussing child abuse and a lot of other things going on in the family. So stick around, guys, and she'll be back for the second hour along with a couple other guests.
Radio at freedomslips.com. We'll be right back after this message.
You're going back in?
There's still men out there.
God damn.
When I go home, people ask me, "Hey, Hoot, why do you do it, man? Why? Some kind of war junkie?" I won't say a goddamn word. Why? They won't understand. Won't understand why we do it. They won't understand it's about the men next to you. And that's it. That's all it is.
Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com. Number one listener supported radio. The printing press for freedom at a time when freedom is needed the most.
I am Bill Johnson. Some consider my efforts to be an underground law school. I am not an attorney, and I do not give legal advice. I teach. That's lawful and legal. Consider yourself served. You are to appear Wednesday nights, 10 p.m. Eastern, Studio A. My forte? Foreclosure and contract law. Grab your legal pad and pen. Learn a broad spectrum of law spanning administrative, criminal, family, tort, and federal law. Fools and losers cling to old cases. I dissect and comment on the latest rulings that control the courts. Don't be a loser. And if you don't appear, you will be held in contempt.
I will defend myself against their tyranny. Number 3 is my radio broadcast. I'm squarely in front of the public all the time, and they all know what's going on.
For we are opposed around the world by a monolithic and ruthless conspiracy that relies primarily on covert means for expanding its sphere of influence.
Hello, my name is John Wayne. And I do a broadcast here at freedomslips.com, revolution.radio, called The Unequivocal Truth, DEFCON 1.
Freedom and fear are at war.
And folks, I assure you, we are in defense condition 1. As we journey perilously through this paradigm that we currently reside in, and I ask that you join me every Saturday, 8 to 10 p.m., Eastern Standard Time, for the Unequivocal Truth, DEFCON 1.
We shall never surrender.
The original machine had a base plate of pre-famulated amulite surmounted by a malleable logarithmic casing in such a way that the two spurving bearings were in a direct line with a panometric fan. The lineup consisted simply of 6 hydrocoptic Marzal vanes, so fitted to the ambifacient lunar wane shaft that side fumbling was effectively prevented. The main winding was of the normal lotus-o-deltoid type placed in panendermic semi-boloid slots of the stator, every 7th conductor being connected by a non-reversible tremie pipe to the differential girdle spring on the up end of the gram meters.
Thank you for listening to Revolution Radio, taking the confusion out of transmutated lunar girdle springs for 4 years and running. Revolution Radio, the number one listener-supported alternative media radio on the planet.
All right, thanks for listening while we take that short break here at Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com. And yeah, we're going to get back to your host.
Welcome back, everybody. It is the second hour. This is the Cryptic I've Been Thinking show, and we are having a great conversation. I have Kat Waters on. She is from the One Great Work Network, and I also got another guest joining me. I want to welcome Fred. He is the host of the Libercast podcast. Fred, are you there, my friend?
Yes, I am. Thank you for having me, Ray.
Oh, you're very welcome. I'm glad you could make it. As I was letting you know, Kat and I have been having a great discussion for the first hour, touching on a lot of important subjects within the family unit and what's going on in the family unit and with children and that. But before we get talking, I just want you to give you a chance to introduce yourself, Fred. Let everybody know about your podcast, some of the stuff that you're covering. Just go ahead and let everybody know a little bit about yourself.
So, my name is Fred. I'm the host of the Libercast, and the Libercast is about the occult, psychology, shadow work, and the great work in every way. I'm very inspired by Mark Passio's work, and that is the primary reason I started to do the Libercast, because I was ready to bring the people together. And the Libercast is all that. It's about bringing all the people together. And I'm having a table discussion every Friday at 9 p.m. EST. And I'm bringing all these great workers. And we're having a deep conversation and wisdom. And it's very inspiring for the people who are in the truth, the path of truth.
Right. Yeah. And I agree. I've been on, you have a great show, and you, like you said, you bring a great panel of people on, and you discuss a lot of the important topics. I think the round table is an amazing idea because it gets a lot of people together, kind of pass ideas back and forth and just have a discussion. I think that's a great way to do it. I enjoy it, that format, a lot. Where can people get that, check it out every Friday? You said it's every Friday. Where can they find you?
Actually, it is simultaneously streamed on Facebook, Odyssey, and YouTube. I suggest everyone to take a peek from time to time on Facebook, because the main page is there. All the information are there. And usually the podcasts are on Wednesdays at 9 p.m. And the table discussions are on, as I said, every Friday at 9 p.m. EST.
Okay, perfect. Right. Because I've been part of the – I think the roundtable is a great idea, Fred, as I keep saying. And I look forward to them because, I like the roundtable idea. So keep it up. I mean, and I'm inspired by Mark Passio, too. It's got what's got me – you know, during what happened during COVID and all of that's what got me off my ass and starting to do what I do. So I think it's really important. And I mean, Kat and I were like, and if you want to give your opinion, like Catherine and I were talking about before you got here for this first hour, we were talking about basically the family dynamic and how it's being corrupted and it's being eroded away and deteriorated, which is leading to a lot of, you know, why we're seeing very unhealthy people spiritually, physically, emotionally. It's just something that's happening and it's being worn down. And Catherine was kind of talking about, or Kat was talking about that. And I've had other guests on, and as I was saying in the first hour, I've talked to Will Keller, I've had Leslie Powers on, and we've kind of talked about the family structure and what's going on with it, and maybe, you know, how we can change things and get conscious parenting involved. Do you want to give your thoughts? Like, what do you, like, how do you see the family structure? Is it, do you see it being eroded away and deteriorated? What are your thoughts on it?
I mean, the familial context is always affected by cultural means. And what I mean by that is the more that people are diving into immorality and it's having a grave influence into the everyday consciousness of the people, and even worse in the family, in the familial context. And There's a thing there. I think I brought it on my last podcast table discussion, and it was what is being a responsible adult?
Great question.
Yeah. And this
is... Kat's kind of laughing in the background, like, oh, no.
So, adult, responsible adults are not only parents. They're the everyday people who are living into this aggregate of consciousness and this society. So when you have people who are in constant confusion and I don't want to be rude, but this infantilized mindset, mm-hmm. It's really hard to take the evolution path, the path of evolution. It's really regressive because the parents cannot give the example. They cannot raise the children right when they don't have the background, when they don't have the knowledge of morality and and how to behave with other humans. And, children, I have three little girls, and I love them very much. I mean, I'm homeschooling them. They never went to school. They never went to kindergarten. We're exclusively taking care of them. And I think this is one of the basic of the familial unity.
Mm-hmm. Very true. And so, yeah, and we were talking about that, Fred, Kat, and I on the, earlier, is that I was saying that they're pulling the children away from the family structures earlier and earlier, it seems. Like, you know, they're losing that bonding experience with their parents because they're being, you know, parents have to work and they got to, you know, there's, like I was saying, there's a million excuses, but parents have to, you know, give their children over to the schooling system, or they're putting them in daycare at a young age. They're doing a lot of, I think, damage doing that, because they're losing that familial bonding. That's, to me, I think that's so important, because I remember, Fred, when I was younger, I was very fortunate to have a stay-at-home mom who, until I became a teenager, she was at home constantly, and those early years I remember so, they've always been there. Like, it's so important to me, those years where she was, she was showing me things, we were doing things together, we were always out exploring, and she was teaching me things, and I remember that so vividly, and it's had such an impact in my life. It's kind of like what centers me is I go back to what I learned then, and I think so. The damage has got to be astronomical when you're pulling that away. You're, you know, younger and younger, you're getting the family broken apart. Disaster's got to happen. It's going to reflect on your children. It's kind of what Kat and I were talking about, that if you're doing, you know, it all kind of stems like in that direction, that the child takes on the traumas of the parents. It kind of reflects down, and then then the child kind of gets looked at funny because he's reacting to the abuse that's going on in the house, which we were kind of saying, abuse doesn't have to be physical or sexual. There's many different forms of abuse. So just to make sure that people don't think that that's what we're talking about exclusively. So what do you think about, like, do you agree? Like, what are your thoughts on that? I think that's what we have a problem with, is it's one of the many problems.
I mean, we could talk about it all the evening, and because the problem is in the culture, actually, and mm-hmm. There's a lot of confusion now, and people are more and more influenced into hedonism and the pursuit of pleasure and party and things like that, and they don't conservative values that we had are now being transformed and inverted into a poisonous way. And we have this, let me bring something that it's really important, is to have a family unit that is complete. When the children missing one of the two parents, it has real influence for the rest of their lives, like the lack of fatherhood in their lives.
I totally agree with you, Fred, 100%. And Kat, do you want to, your thoughts on what, like, do you see that that's important? I think it's super important to have both parents in the house. When I was younger, very young, it was very strange for to know anybody that didn't have two parents in the house. It was kind of different than it is now. Now, most of the time I talk to people and it's not the biological mother and father. It's usually one or the other raising it, or, you know, some form of that. But when I was younger, it was kind of weird that you didn't have two parents in the house. So how important do you think that is, Catherine, what's Fred saying, like, to have both parents in the house and, you know, helping raise their children?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, again, I just wanted to make the point that, you know, like, what's happening with, you know, COVID and the jab injuries. I mean, you know, if this doesn't teach people to make health a priority, then we're in a lot of trouble. You know, what I thought, you know, should have been the priority, again, decades ago. I mean, it's, you know, everything, you know, should be based on health. I mean, that should have been the priority for a long time, and it never has. It's always been about money. It's everything always revolved around money at the expense of health. And for decades, the family system was a reflection of that. And now it's these deadly clot shots that are a reflection of that. And it really, really worries me, you know, that people don't know enough about health. They don't know enough about psychological health. It's been compromised for so long. It's been normalized to destroy health for so long, you know, to not have families, to not have two parents who have a healthy relationship with one another. You know, I speak of John Bradshaw a lot, who I used to read his books like crazy back in like the late 80s into the early 90s. He wrote and did amazing work on the family system and you know, like the effects of a dysfunctional or unhealthy family system on the child. And you know, none of this stuff was taken seriously over the decades. I mean, it's just like health has just been getting more and more deteriorated, and you know, and it hasn't been getting countered. Like you know, again, like the family system, I always looked at like the scaled up body system, you know, just like your body is a system. It's consisting of, you know, parts that interact with one another and systems that interact and have a relationship. And if that relationship inside your body is not healthy and your body gets imbalanced, you know, that's the end of it. And so the family system, I always felt like should be looked at the exact same way. I mean, if you don't have members of the family, you know, functioning as it should, functioning in the order that it should, you know, things are supposed to go, you know, from parent to child, you know, not the other way around. And if you have the family system being normalized when it's functioning inverted and you know, the opposite of how it's supposed to, you know, then to me, it's like society is just completely, completely broken down. And when you have parents like using their own children for their own, you know, selfishness, emotionally, physically, or, you know, sexually, you know, I always call the family system the micro of the macro. So, you know, we're basically now living in a giant abusive relationship, a giant, you know, so-called family system with giant abusive parents like running the country and the world. And
that's a good point.
If people want to believe, you know, the powers that be would deliberately want to, you know, harm you, kill you, maim you for life with that jab, then you better do some studying on the family system and just see the amount of death and maiming that parents have done to their own children, you know, all through the decades. And I encourage people always to watch, again, this is kind of a recent series on, it was on Netflix, called The Trials of Gabriel Fernandez. I mean, it kind of expands, you know, and gets into a little bit like beyond the family, but, you know, right. Like, I mean, if the family system is dysfunctional, then society and the country and the government is dysfunctional and abusive.
Great point. And I want to get your thoughts on that, Fred. Are we? I know what you're going to say, but I'll ask you: are we living in it? Is our whole system dysfunctional? Like Kat says, like a big family. If you're looking at government, people are think they should, you know, government should be able to take care of them. A lot of people look at the government to take care of them. How dysfunctional are we in? Do you think, Fred?
I'm a big advocate of natural law, and I would bring the principle of correspondence.
Mm-hmm.
The principle of correspondence is as above, so below.
Right.
As below, so above. So you have a some generation that been influenced by TV and
absolutely
medias and governments and propaganda, and we're not talking about intergenerational mind control. You have parents that are narcissists. And I love what Catherine brought about that, because it's a very good point. I mean, you have couples of parents who are completely neurotic, and they cannot control their own emotion, and they have to raise. This is a huge responsibility for a couple to bring these little humans to maturity, and right. You have to be able to teach them intellectually, emotionally, and spiritually, and guide them. It's not about control. It's about guiding them to their maturity, to their adulthood.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and that's so true what you're saying, Fred, because I think a lot of people think that, you know, that, you know, when you have your children, they listen to you, and that's what it is. But then you, as me and Kat were saying, you have parents that are basically adult children themselves. They're, exactly. You know, and they're trying to raise their children, and you got the parents that are totally messed up in so many different ways, and then they're passing this on to their kids, so they're not mature. You're making such a great point that, you know, your job as a parent, as parents, I want to put that, make it sure that I say parents, because I think saying parent just makes it so much easier to think of a singular parent. I think parents, you're guiding your child. Like, you're not, you know, you don't own them. I think a lot of people think they own their kids. I don't believe that. I think you're here to guide them. Big difference.
Absolutely. And I want to bring something else. If you agree, and I mean, sorry for everyone. The English language is my second language, so I tend to search for my work. So stay with me. I mean, you have a society who overstimulate the individual, and I mean by entertainment or alcohol abuse or drug abuse or addictions, and we can think of every addiction that you want. I mean, there's plenty to take example for, and one of them is attention. And I mean, you have parents that are not taking care of their children, and they're 24 hours on social media taking pictures and bragging about their parenthood, and then during this time the children is abandoned psychologically, emotionally, and spiritually.
Right.
I mean, there's no separation between these things, you know, and this security can only be brought because children know if their parents are lying. Children know if you mistreat them, if you try to talk them down and things like that. I'm not saying that we are perfect parents. There's no such thing as a perfect parents, but it is our responsibility as responsible adults to grow up and mature intellectually and spiritually, for being able to raise, and I'm using raising in the two sense there, raising the children to be responsible, intelligent. And I'm not talking about intellectualism. I'm talking about emotional intelligence. Right. And right. Most people cannot bring that to their children.
Great points. And I'd like to get your thoughts on what Fred is saying, Catherine, because it's going right along with what you were saying. I think that we're right on the same page.
If I could just share, because, you know, again, just listening, I was reminded of certain things that I wanted to, you know, like these points that I wanted to make. Like, I can't, I have to kind of thank this COVID stuff and jab injury stuff for really making so many of the points that I've been trying to make about harming health for such a long time. And so, you know, there's so much talk about, experimental, and how the jab is experimental. you know, everything that they talk about at the macro level, like in my mind, I always translate it down to the family system because I studied the family system and I just live this stuff like my whole life. And so when they talk about, you know, like when they're jabbing you, they're basically experimenting on you. And like, I mean, I've said that about the family system. Like they're literally like when they're parenting, they're experimenting on you. They have no idea what they're doing. They're like literally using you like a freaking lab rat to, you know, test their parenting skills. And even when they get, you know, like again, like I started saying, like, you don't have to be a scientist, you know, to do science. Like anyone, you know, again, can do it. Like, you know, parents, I kind of in a way was starting to think of, you know, like scientists, and they're just like kind of using you in their laboratory, yeah, you know, to experiment on. And I mean, you know, when that child has an adverse response to, you know, the treatment and the way that the parent is like treating them. And then in turn, you know, the parent doesn't take that feedback and consider it, and instead, you know, just kind of tries to, you know, get rid of, or, you know, get rid of the evidence and, you know, minimize, you know, the adverse responses of, you know, of the child, you know, and you know, like that's what I'm saying, like people should have been taking, you know, and, you know, again, like, you know, in my case, the adverse responses that your body is having as a young person, like in your house, it's like, you know, that's the answer. Like that should have been seen as like, that is the result of your experiment. And instead, what were people doing? Right. They manipulated until they get the results that they want. Like people in, you know, the people around me all my life have been exactly like the sociopaths that be, and the criminals, literally, they just do it on a different scale. You know, like I recently was learning about, I don't know if you're, you know, the story of Louis Pasteur and the germ theory and how like that was not accurate. And there were other scientists that actually had it right. Like Louis Pasteur didn't even have it right, but because he was a good salesman and he used to kind of hobnob, you know, with like, you know, higher up people and get, you know, their like, you know, friendship or funding or whatever. So like what I read in, you know, like Ty and Charlene Bollinger, do you know them, of the truth about vaccines.com? Mm-hmm. Yep. And the truth about parenting, sorry, the truth about vaccines.com and the truth about cancer.com. They have two like websites. And so they have this PDF, and it's called, Monumental Myths of the Modern Medical Mafia and the Mainstream like Media and the Lying Liars. That it's like a really long title. But they have like in one of the chapters, you know, it's all about Louis Pasteur and how like if he did not get the results, you know, from the animals that he was testing on, you know, the results that he wanted, he would just destroy the animals. And when I read that, I was like, oh my God, that's what happened to me. The only thing is they just don't murder you. They just silence you into submission, you know?
Right. That's a great point. And please send me a link to that website that you got that, or that article, if it's an article, because I would like to read that, Kat. I love the articles you sent me. What I was going to ask Fred though, because we kind of touched, I'm going to kind of jump around, because I mean each one of these points that we're making is a show in itself, so I mean it's hard to hone in, and I'm trying to keep, you know, it kind of bringing different things out. And we, and Fred, you were kind of talking about, you brought up social media. That's another topic that I've been very passionate about looking into, because I grew up in a time, as I'm sure you did, where there wasn't these cell phones. There wasn't really an internet to speak of. I mean, it was at its very, very early stages when I was young. The most you could do with a computer is print out those long banners. I'm sure the older people know what I'm talking about. That's about the only thing that computer ever could do that I knew. And now I see social media. I see more and more children younger and younger. They're all walking around with cell phones, and they're walking around with a tablet. And it seems that the parents are just sticking their children in front of these social media devices. Yeah. And to me, this is a disaster. I've talked to people about it. I want to get your thoughts, Fred, and then Catherine after I get Fred's. What do you think the social media is doing? Do you think, like, do you see this as a big problem? A disaster is going to come from it? I'd just like to get your thoughts, Fred.
I mean, there's always two sides to something. And I just want to bring the good side first.
Okay.
Because we know already what the devastation of social media and the rise of hedonism and narcissism. The good point is, social media had allowed me to create the Libercast and to create networking with other people that are living in other countries. I had people in the UK, I had people in America, and I had Canadian folks. I mean, it's so easy now to have a good conversation instantly by the power of the internet.
True.
And I mean, that's a good thing. And I want to bring something else and give my kudos to Mark Passio and his course, How to Be the Real Media, that I'm actually taking, and I'm going to get in tonight after the
Me too.
Radio show.
So, I run from here right to the class.
Exactly. So I'm learning actually there to take this as a tool and not being used as a tool by them.
Right.
So the other side, the ugly side of it, I mean, it's horrifying.
It is.
You have children who are awkward as hell when they're getting into the society and they have to interact with humans. They're totally vivid and they're very awkward. And I'm not talking about every one of them. I'm not generalizing there. I'm sure there's good kid outsides, but there's this rise of narcissism and complacence. And I mean, we have the internet as such is a powerful tool for knowledge. Absolutely. And there's no justification for ignorance. Must get smarter, but not smarter on how to do videos on TikToks. We need to get streetwise. We need to get enlightened spiritually. And we have all these creators outside that are doing a fantastic job on bringing the crucial information. And people are rather showing their bodies and making money like prostitutions on the internet. And then you have these even, and we're not talking even just about children and teens. We're talking about adults.
Exactly.
That are very, very influenceable by that. They were not thought to think critically. They are taking in information from everywhere and they're not checking around. They're not counter verifying the information. And Catherine was talking about the Jabo. And I think this is one of the great examples from that. You know, it's horrifying. It's terrifying to be in this age. And it's not only negative. I think we're blessed as as adults and people to live into this era of information.
I agree.
And we could as human, if we were smart enough, we could turn this hell into something of abundance and enlightenment, and we would bring more the technology. We would use it for our own for the evolution wise.
Yeah. Not enslavement, not being enslaved by.
This is not evolution. We're in involution.
Agreed.
Yeah, we're regressing. There's a regression into Western civilization, actually.
Yeah, I've actually, that's crazy that you brought that up, Fred, because I was having a conversation with a friend a couple of weeks ago, and we were talking about how things seem to be like devolving. Like we're setting ourselves back more and more. And it's a great point that you brought up too, that let's not just say that the internet and social media is affecting children. It is definitely affecting adults 100%. And that's a great point that you brought up. And I think people, you know, there's no way people can disagree with that. But I have to agree with what you're saying too, that it can be used for the right reasons and for power. You know, you can turn the control they have on us using the social media, we can turn it back against them. We just have to educate ourselves how to do that. And, you know, learn like we're doing in our class with Mark Passio's class, we're learning how to do that. And I think a lot of people are lacking in that area, especially the people in my generation. A lot of people just, they have their phones. They think that's good enough. And I learned very quickly that it's not good enough. And you have to learn, if you're going to battle them, it's going to be done on this playing field. It's going to be done over the internet and through tech. That's how you reach the most people. And I agree that it's an amazing thing that I met you through technology. I've met Catherine. I've talked to people in Israel. I've talked to people all over the world. So it's absolutely 100% got a positive effect to it. It's just the fact that it seems that the quick fix of TikTok and all of these selfies and people, just as you were saying, it that seems to be where a lot of people are focusing their attention and not where it should be, which is what we got to change. And so what are your thoughts, Catherine? I want to get your thoughts on because you're part of social media and you're out there, you're doing your work and educating people. What are your thoughts about what's going on with social media? Is it good, bad, powerful, all of the above? What are your thoughts on it?
I thought your question before was about, like, you know, giving little kids like iPads and
that too. Yes. That was, yes, exactly. Your thoughts on that would be great.
Well, of course I think it's definitely a mistake, you know, not to mention the radiation from it. You know, and it's just kind of like the TV that, you know, parents used to just kind of sit their kid in front of the TV instead of engaging with them, and now it's just a gadget to give them. But as far as a social media goes, I don't have like the greatest following on social media because my Facebook page, it seems to be restricted. Like every time I turn around, I no longer have a Twitter account because I got, you know, it got shut down, you know, because they just like, you know, they're always using that stupid community guidelines nonsense to, make you turn you into like, you're a domestic criminal, you know, for speaking the truth and challenging these stupid jabs. But so all I really have is Instagram, which I kind of, you know, I don't use it that way all that much. And I was actually thinking of maybe starting like a TikTok, but like I was away for a while. Like I went away for a month. So I came back like, when did I come back? On the 10th of October. And I haven't done podcasts since I came back because I'm kind of focusing on like moving to North Carolina. And so once I get like settled there, I was going to start, you know, doing podcasts again. And, you know, I think it'll be like you know, pretty good, because I'm going to be in a good place with this man. His name is Eustace Conway, and he used to have a show on the History Channel called Mountain Men. And he's just kind of building, you know, something good down there that I'm, you know, gonna like hopefully be able to participate in. And, you know, hopefully he'll be able to join some of my podcasts, along with Nicole, that's also down there. And they are, resisting, the system and trying to, live, a bit more off the grid.
Yeah, off the grid's where I want to go. That's for sure. We're going there. That's true. Yeah. And just to wrap up on the TV thing, I remember when I was younger, we didn't get TV that often. Like, I mean, maybe an hour a day if we were lucky, and then it was right back outside. Like, and I thank my parents for that now. Trust me, didn't like it when I was a kid because when you're a kid, you want to watch TV. But they wouldn't let me, and I thank them for that. And I'm sure, Fred, you're probably, I don't know if you're the same way, but I wasn't allowed to sit in front of a TV all day. Certainly was, you were supposed to be outside doing things. It was just not something I did. And, off grid, that's a great thing to bring up too. I mean, I don't like, where is this all heading, guys? I don't like, it seems like we're up against such a monster, like this Hydra that we're up against, and it's got so many heads that are, they're hitting us in so many areas. They're destroying the family unit. They're destroying our health. They're destroying our morality. There's like, as Frank, it's like Fred said, like it's a heathenism, a state that we're going into. And what do you think, Fred? Like, do we just continue what we're doing? Do we just keep doing our shows? Do we try to get out in public and talk to people? Educating one person at a time. What are your thoughts? Like, I just see this as it's a really a big hill that we're up against, because people are fighting in all the way up. They don't want to. I think a lot of people are happy in this bubble that they're in, which drives me crazy. But what are your thoughts?
First of all, I want to say that the first thing that we have to do is doing something. It's not. It's okay to educate yourself and take in knowledge and wisdom, but once you have it, you need to do something with it. I mean, there's so many here in Canada, Rick, it's getting bad, and day by day, there's so much things that work against us, but essentially, this is about taking back our own power as individuals. And then working on the path of bringing more people into their own path of individuality, and showing them that we can do better. And I mean, it's easy to describe the walls of the prison, and always being depressed and things about that. Man, I want to say, because I have children, and I don't have this luxury of letting my arm go down. I need to stand up, and you need to like squeeze your teeth a little bit, and then you'll probably get bruised on the way, but we have to do it. And one of the way that I found to do the work is using social medias, because everybody is there now, and there's no way we're going to stop it. It's impossible. It's here to stay, and we have to live with it. Now we have to transmute all that for the greater good. And that's why I want to bring more of a optimistic aspect to it. So, I mean, I'm a shadow worker and a great worker for 10 years now. And I've seen it. I've seen the conspiracies. I've seen all this all the dark corners of human psyche and the society and the oligarchies and all these names we're giving to this entity that want us to regress and come back as animals. And I mean, we are better than that. We're smarter than them. And the thing with psychopaths and sociopaths like that, it's they're very narrow-minded. They're very close, and they don't see that. And just like that, like having gratitude, if you wake up tomorrow in the morning and you can see the sun rising, you're blessed. And we have to express our gratitude for what we have, because if we start to compare ourselves with others, no, you know, there's people that are way worse than us. They cannot find food. They're living in the streets. There's children that are mistreated and abused, you know, and all these things are real. All these things are there. But it doesn't mean that it needs to stay this way. It's because people have not suffered enough. We have not bled enough to realize the chance that we have to live into this modern era of information and technology.
Right. Well, exactly. Wow. That's so true what you're saying, Fred. And do something is so... That's such a powerful thing to say, and it's such a simple thing, but it's so true. And I was guilty of that, as I'm sure you were at one time. Like I was taking in all this information, sure, and taking it in. And then it was listening to one of Mark Pasula's podcasts that, you know, he kind of called people out that were just taking in information, but not going out and actually, you know, that's not the end of it. The end of it isn't taking in this information and then keeping it for yourself. You have to start putting it out back into the world. That's how we're going to change this whole dynamic, is by people actually taking that final step, which is doing action, which you're doing, Catherine's doing, I'm doing, and so many other great people are doing. I think that people have to realize that you know, that's how we're going to change it, is by taking action. That's the only way, and not standing by, which a lot of people are doing. And that's what I was saying earlier, that I think people are just kind of happy to go along, get along. They don't want to make any waves. They don't want to be looked at, down at, or made fun of for different beliefs and you know, that whole thing that goes along with that. And what Catherine's saying, like finding our individuality again, I think so many people are just in life, they're just trying to be something they're not. They're not happy. They're not truly happy. And I'll keep saying that. I don't think a lot of people are truly, truly happy. When they look at themselves in the mirror, can they look at themselves and say they truly are happy, they love their life? Some can, I'm sure. I know they can. But I'm saying the majority of people. And so I think that that's so important, is that we find our individuality and our creativity, because I think that's what people are missing. So, like, and I'll ask Catherine, and then I'll get back to you, Fred. So we got about 15 minutes, well, a little bit less. So I'm trying to make this, give everybody equal time. How important, Catherine, and do you think that finding people's individuality and creativity is important to changing the dynamic? Like, what are your thoughts? And I'll give you a few minutes, and I'll come right back to you, Fred, with the same question.
So how is people's individuality, right, like, and they're going to contribute to...
Yes, like finding who they truly are. Like, I think people just don't know who they are anymore.
Well, you know, I mean, I always thought it was like one of the greatest health crises in the world was people, you know, never getting raised, you know, to their healthy potential, right, and to be the unique person that they're supposed to be. I mean, again, like, and then normalizing, you know, just getting a job, and like what I, you know, I could only just rely on what I lived, experienced, witnessed, like what sent shockwaves through my body at a young age was everybody putting money first. I mean, everything revolved around that debt note, mm-hmm, rather than what was real, like what was healthy and fit, you know, and there were just wasn't enough focus on being healthy, period. And people were making all of these decisions, you know, already based, you know, from their deficient, judgment, their impaired judgment of the, you know, that working class mentality of, you know, just get the paycheck and the pension. And, no one realized that, you know, not everyone, you know, grows up that way. I mean, people, you know, much more well off or educated. I mean, you know, the sociopaths that be, you know, that's what I call them. Sometimes I call them Satanists.
Me too. Yep.
They have like a completely different mentality. And I always knew that it was your attitude. It was your self-worth. It was your, your healthy self-esteem that was like way more important than chasing after any stupid paycheck. And, you know, like if you didn't have, you know, you know, your health, yourself being, you know, who you were supposed to be, you know, what good is just chasing money and then you're just like living this menial existence, you know, for the rest of your life and, you know, staying like an adult child and never really evolving essentially. Mm-hmm. And, you know, raising your chakras is like, you know, maybe another way of putting it, which I kind of always believed in. And to me, that's the real measure of like success is, you know, just, you know, being healthy. And our monetary system in no way, shape or form is in alignment with any kind of health. I mean, health was always to be put second in the pursuit of, you know, you always had to sacrifice your physical and psychological right. health to have money. And I refused to do it. Like I was adamant, like I wasn't going to do it. And I just was like kind of naive and didn't realize how many people do it.
Oh yeah. I know people that work astronomical hours in a week, like crazy hours, and their health is suffering, but they still do it. They're unhappy. They're working crazy hours. And their health is, like I just said, their health is suffering and it's noticeable. And they just keep doing it and chasing the dollar. And it's really disturbing.
Yeah, most people never even considered psychological health, though. Or
that's a good point. Yeah.
Spiritual yeah. health, you know. And like I was always, you know. You know, because I basically lived in such an unhealthy environment and I was never raised, you know, so I was always like, you know, I want to be raised. Like I was always looking for even like a work environment where I could be, you know, raised and be like who I wanted to be. I mean, and I wasn't going to accept anything less than that. And to me, it's like the greatest tragedy of, I don't know, like all the decades I've been on this earth are people just like they have no concept of what it even means to be mentally healthy. And I mean, emotional health, dysfunctional, you know, jobs. I mean, just look at Amazon, like look at this, you know, this guy recently working at the Amazon factory in Staten Island, and they finally started like organizing and trying to make a union and all this stuff. But if you ask me, like all these people should just quit, and who the hell wants to be in a freaking abusive job? And I mean, it's just like,
it's crazy. It really is. Great points, Catherine. And we got a few minutes left here, Fred. So I want to give the floor to you we got about 5 minutes. So I want you to wrap up this show. And I want to thank you both for being here so much. This was an amazing conversation. Thank you, Catherine. Thank you, Fred. I'll make sure I put links in the chat so they can find, all your information and where to find you. And you guys are always welcome back, absolutely, to have a part two of this conversation. And so to wrap up, Fred, as I asked Catherine, like how important do you think people finding who they truly are is? And even if you want to comment on what Catherine was saying about, you know, how abusive the workforce environment is, just your thoughts at the final part of the show here.
So actually, shadow work is the only way to correct this this mistake. And the shadow work is introspection and the inner do the cleaning of your own temple. And we have to start there as an individual. And I just want to bring something because it's so important. It's to not get trapped into these collectivist mindset and transmuting collectivism into cooperation. Because collectivism acts as a, it stops you from thinking. You're gonna, these people are trying to identify themselves by other groups, other people. And we have to get back to our own roots and heal what we need, heal our emotions and heal our souls and spirits. And I mean, there's no way we're going to do it without that, essentially, because this is an individual problem. And then as above, so below. This is the principle of correspondence. The people will reflect what they're having inside them. So if people is in order, there's order in their minds and their emotion and their spirituality, it's going to be in the society. It's going to be on your relative and your friends and your family. And then at the end, everybody will enjoy this beautiful symbiosis and this brotherhood we're so talking about and we're not seeing because people are stuck into these belief.
Right. Absolutely, Fred. That was perfectly said. And I agree with you with the shadow work. I think that's where it all changes. That's the foundation that people need. And I'll say that forever, that that's the solid foundation you have to get to know who you are and work on yourself before you can expand it out into the world. I think that was perfectly said, guys. And Fred, thank you. Like that was, and what do you like? Shadow work was game changer for me, as I'm sure it was for you and anyone that's been listening that's ever done it. That's a game changer.
Yep.
Rick, would it be possible if I just played like a minute of this COVID land just to maybe go out with?
If you can get it, if you can share it, yeah. Like, I mean, do you know how to share on here? Because we got about a minute, so we'll be ending the show on it.
Can I just play it? Like, it's on my desktop.
You can try it. I don't know if people will hear it. We can try it for the last minute. So give it. There you go. Perfect. Yep.
Whatever government claims to have the people's interest at heart, you need to think again. In the entire history of mankind, there has never been a political elite sincerely concerned about the well-being of regular people. What makes any of us think that it is different now? Whenever a political elite pushes an agenda this hard and resorts to extortion and manipulation to get their way, you can almost always be sure your benefit is definitely not what they had at heart.
Okay, I'll stop.
Perfect. That's great. That's a great way to end the show, guys. Thank you once again, Catherine, for joining me. Thank you so much, Fred. You guys are always welcome back. I will leave links to find their channels, their information in the chat room, guys. And you guys are always welcome back. Thank you so much for listening, guys, and have a great week and stay safe.
Yeah, onegreatworknetwork.com.
Absolutely, guys.
Revolution Radio.
Revolution Radio every Wednesday 8 p.m. Eastern Time on Studio B for Momentary Zen with host Zen Garcia. at freedomslips.com. The People Station.
This is Thomas, a.k.a. a Mad Painter. I'd like you to join me Monday nights, 10 p.m. Eastern Standard Time for Open Canvas. Don't forget to bring an open mind.
Yes, folks, that's right. Bring an open mind to an open canvas. Again, that is Monday nights, 10 p.m. Eastern. UFOs to government corruption. This is Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com. You don't need to expect us. We're already here.
I am Bill Johnson. Some consider my efforts to be an underground law school. I am not an attorney, and I do not give legal advice. I teach. That's lawful and legal. Consider yourself served. You are to appear Wednesday nights, 10 p.m. Eastern.